this morning. We'll be using our hymn books today. Let's turn to 681. 681 in our hymn books. Again, for the opportunity to be together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's take our books now and turn to 796. This is a favorite of many of ours. We'll stand in for this one. 796. Adam came down and glory filled us all. seated. All right. We have several announcements today. We'll start with the trust that you'll all stay for the meal following the service this morning. Been downstairs and can smell already the good food that's there. So come and bring your appetite. We also have some of the great food that we had yesterday. We kept it in good shape, and it's here again today. So that food was delicious yesterday. And it was a blessed day yesterday. It really was. The Lord definitely had his hand on it. It was a real blessing to everybody, I think. And like Pastor mentioned already, it was really encouraging to see Jordan here along with her fiance Ed. Been praying for them for a long time. In case anybody didn't know, this is the same Jordan that was severely injured in that car accident. And for a long time, they weren't sure whether she would even survive, number one. And the Lord protected her. But then add to it, when she did survive, her brain function was severely damaged. But just talking to her briefly yesterday, I was just amazed that she was able to carry on a conversation and able to move around. She needs help, obviously, with a walker and everything, but we're just thankful that God has preserved her. And we need to pray for both her and her fiance, Ed, that God will reveal himself to them and help them recognize their need of salvation. It's just a blessing to see that. Anyway, following the meal, we will have the induction service, as we're calling it, at 2:30 p.m. Hope you'll be all of you will be here for that. And I'm looking forward to what God will do for us. Brother Renzi will be officiating, so we're excited about that opportunity. We're glad he's able to be with us. Last but not least from me is... hard to believe it came so quickly, but it's time for taking care of the church property as far as the lawn goes already. It's unbelievable. Anyway, there is a sign-up sheet over here on the organ. We're doing it in a similar manner as we've done every year. The dates listed on there are the Saturdays. However, depending on your schedule, if you sign up, if you would like to do it sometime during the day on Thursday or Friday, that's certainly fine. We just want it looking nice when we get here on Sunday morning. The only change to it is, Jason, we're relieving you of this burden. If something goes wrong and somebody can't do it, we're going to have them call Pastor. All right? So you won't have to worry about it. And so in case you don't know Pastor's number, it is listed on, I had to put it on the front and back of this same sheet. So Pastor's phone number is listed there. You can either call him or text him, and that would be fine. All right, so hopefully we can keep the church property looking in good shape and be a good testimony for the Lord, for people who drive by and see us. All right, that's all I have. Pastor, do you want to mention anything else? Okay. Oh, I should mention about the members. Okay. Most of you have already received it, but once we are done our study in the book of Titus, Pastor has gotten these little booklets. If you hold that up, please. They're in the back there on the table next to the sound booth. If you do not receive one, I've already looked through it, and I've already received a blessing from it. Hope you'll take the opportunity to use that if you haven't already gotten one, and it will be a blessing to you as we move on in our memory verse study following the book of Titus. All right? And just to conclude on that subject, we've been looking at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. We'll continue that for this week. Starting next Sunday, we will include verse 14 as well. All right? So that's all the announcements I have that I know of. Looking forward to seeing what God will do for us. Oh, I'm sorry, Jim, I almost forgot. Most of you know about the Baptist bread that we get delivered here. Some of you use it for your devotional and your alone time with the Lord. If you have not received the current installment, please see Brother Jim Bush, and he'll make sure that you get that, okay? I believe that's it that I know of. Okay. All right. We'll continue on in our singing then. Let's turn to 814. It's all the way in the back, beyond the index. 814. Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about my Savior's face.
You think when he's singing that song, why would Jesus die for me? Why would he even think about me? Brethren, you know there's things you've done that nobody else knows about. yet the Lord Jesus Christ still loves us. There's things we've done, our wife, our kids, nobody knows about but the Lord, the precious Lord Jesus Christ, yet he loves us. And the day it will be to be able to get to heaven and just see Jesus. I don't care about nothing else. I don't care nothing else about heaven. Oh, I just want to see Jesus. I want to see the one who died for me. I want to see his hands. I want to see his feet. You know, the Bible shows that he still has those scars. You know, all for eternity, he's going to have those scars on his hands that were for you and I. We'll have perfect bodies, yet his body will have those scars, those nail prints in his hands, to continually show through all of his eternity his love towards us. What a Savior. What a God to serve. What a God to sing about. What a God to give glory and honor to this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's none like him. There's none like him. There is none like Jesus. There's no religion like true Christianity, true Bible Christianity. There's nothing that compares. There's nothing that comes close to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can, you're able to this morning, please stand and take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter number 13, verses 45 and 46. If you're able to stand. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. Thank you, Jason, for that song. I appreciate it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. You know, I went outside to pray for a second and to talk. And you know why Sunday school is so important with what was being said? Because, brethren, I don't know if there's been times in your life, but I know there's been plenty of times in my life to where I just wanted to quit. There's been plenty of times in my life where I even told my wife, boy, I said, I'm done. Can't do it no more. I don't want to do it no more. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the battles in my mind. I just want to go off in the woods and just keep walking. But it's like the Lord comes down and says, son, don't quit. You know why it's so important to train your kids and allow God to work in your life for those times in your life where no one else is around and it's dark and the enemy floods your mind with the thoughts that nobody cares, nobody's there, just quit, just end it all, just it's not worth it. That's why you need fortitude. That's why you need to have that attitude, that spirit that God can work and say, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Get to a brother or a sister in the Lord, grab a hold of them, and continue to fight the good fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46 says this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love towards us, dear God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you put up with us. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that you're long-suffering and that you're slow to anger. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would just bless your word, Father, as it goes forth, that you would give us what we need, that would help us to draw closer to you. And Lord, that would bring glory and honor to your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I love nature. I love looking at nature. I love observing nature. And here in Matthew chapter number 13, verses 45 and 46, we have one of the most beautiful things there are that God has created, and those are pearls. Pearls are, the more I study them and the more I look at them and observe them and try to figure out more about the pearl, the more you look at it, they are just beautiful jewelry and what God's created with a pearl. The Bible says in Revelation 21 and 22, it says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. It says that every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. This morning, I just want to look at a few things, if you allow me to, about pearls. There's three types of pearls out there that you can go out and you can purchase. You have fake pearls. Then you have cultured pearls, and then you also have natural pearls. Obviously, the natural pearl is the most rare pearl that you could attain. Their value sometimes is inestimable, millions and millions of dollars for some of these pearls that are natural. But a fake pair of pearls you can buy basically anywhere. They're pretty much worthless. There's not a lot to them. I'm going to start here looking at fake pearls. It says that fake pearls are made up of glass, ceramic, shell, or plastic to give them the appearance of a real pearl. This fake pearl is often painted and covered in a material that simulates a pearl-like luster and false iridescence. They are manufactured by humans to fool the human eye. 99% of fake pearls are low quality, and most fake pearls are only used for costume jewelry. Fake pearls, it says, are made to give the appearance of a real pearl, but in reality, they are cheap imitations to the real thing. A fake pearl is not a real pearl. Man's created them to the sense to where he tries to trick the human eye in thinking that it's real, but in reality it's fake. It's a cheap imitation. Take your Bible and look at Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Titus chapter number 1, verses number 15 and 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Titus 1, 15 and 16, the Bible says this. It says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But their mind and conscience is defiled. And then look what it says about them. Their mind and conscience is defiled. Verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and to every good work reprobate. This individual here described in Titus is a picture of a fake pearl. They give off the appearance of a natural or cultural pearl, but in reality, they're a cheap imitation. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of. They profess that they know God. They profess, they say the right things, they say the right words, they talk about Jesus, they may even carry a Bible, they may even read the Bible, but in reality, they deny Him and are reprobate to good works. They profess that they know God. Brethren, there's individuals out there today, because the Bible says so, that there's individuals out there today. We're not talking about the person at the bar. We're not talking about the person who's denied Christ. We're talking about individuals that they profess that they know God. They are professors. They profess that they know God, but the Bible says, but in works, they deny Him. You say, well, preacher, how do you know a fake pearl? Look at the works. Look at the works. Look at what backs up and is the authority behind that pearl. There is no authority behind a fake pearl. You buy it at Dollar General, there's nobody in there that's going to sign a certificate of authenticity that it's a real pearl. You pick it up at the Diamond or Dollar General, you put it around your neck, and unless somebody gets really close, as we're going to look at it, and feels it and touches it, it can look like the real thing. But once you get close enough, you start realizing, this thing's fake. These aren't real pearls. They're a cheap imitation. Isaiah 29:13 says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. I ask you this morning, where is your heart? Where is your desire? Or are you just a cheap imitation pearl? Do you desire from the heart? Do you desire from the heart to love the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, before I got saved, listen, I was a professor of God. If you would have come up to me when I was 19, 20 years old in the military, and you would have asked me if I believed in Jesus Christ, I would have told you I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would have asked me, do you believe in a heaven and a hell? I would have said, yes, I believe in a heaven and a hell. And if you would have asked me which one I was going to, I would have said to heaven. But I was lost the whole time. Why? Because my heart and my desire had not been changed and given to the Lord Jesus Christ. I professed God, but in works I denied him. I said that I knew who Jesus was. I would say that I loved Jesus, but my life Monday through Saturday denied my profession. And I'm afraid today there's a lot that they make a good profession of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in works they deny him. Not only do they deny him in works, they're abominable and disobedient, and in every good work they're reprobate. They blaspheme the name of Christ. And that's one of our major problems in Christianity is you got too many people out today claiming the name of Christianity, and it's nothing but Christianity. It's anything but Christianity. Allowing God to work through your heart and life and allowing his word to purge you and allow you to draw closer to him. Most don't want that. Most want the quick route, and a fake pearl is the quick route. A fake pearl is a real quick route, and it's easily multiplied. It doesn't take much to produce fake pearls. Some ceramic, some glass, some cheap plastic. You get a workman together, and he put it all together, put it on a string, and sell it as pearls. But they're fake. Take your Bible and look at Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 30. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30. Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 33, and we'll be looking at verses 30 through 33. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 33. The Bible says here in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel says also, Lord Jesus, or the Lord God speaking through him, he says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. So you have individuals, the Bible says here in Ezekiel, that they stand in the doorways, they're walking near the walls, and they're telling to their brother, they're saying, come, I pray you, and hear the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Their heart's not with you. Verse 32. And lo, he says, and lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till it comes to a point where you realize, oh, that was the truth. Oh, I really should have done that. Oh, I really should have implemented this in my life. It says, and when this comes to pass, and the Bible says, and lo, it will come, then they shall know that a prophet hath been among them. Don't just be a hearer of the word of God. Allow God's word to work in your life. Number two, fake pearls are painted and covered in a material that simulates a pearl-like luster and false iridescence. I'm asked this question. Have you ever been truly born again by the Holy Spirit of God? Or are you just trying to cover up the flesh with cheap imitation Christianity? Have you truly ever been born of the Spirit of God? Listen, when I was growing up, I grew up in church. Like I said before, some of you know my testimony. I must have said the sinner's prayer, I don't know how many times, but I was never saved. Because I was never willing to give up Chris Welton. But on March 19, 2000, thank the precious Lord God Almighty, I turned from my sin, I turned to the Lord Jesus, I went down to the altar, and you know what my prayer was? I didn't need anybody to pray with me at that time. I didn't need nobody to tell me nothing. I already knew what I needed to say. And as I came down that aisle, I got down to the altar, and I said, God, this is what I pray. I said, God, I'm vomit. And immediately, he made me a new creature in him. Why? How was I made a new creature through the power of the precious Holy Spirit? Because I was willing to give up Chris Welton and give my life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. All I wanted was Jesus. Take the world and give me Jesus. And the Lord said, that's all I was looking for. You know, there's this old story about a slave master back during the pre-Civil War times. And his slave ended up getting saved. And the master saw immediate change. And he came to him and he said, sir, the master came to the slave. He said, sir, I've seen a change in your life. What happened? He said, the Lord Jesus Christ changed me, made me a new creature. And he says, what do I need to do to have that salvation? He said, sir, you need to go down there and wallow in that pigsty. He said, you need to go down there. You want to be saved? You need to go down there and wallow in that pigsty. The master said, I ain't doing that. I ain't going down there in that pigsty. He walked away. Came back about 2 weeks later, said, I can't get this off my mind. I can't get this off my heart. What can I do to be saved? He said, listen, sir, you need to be willing to go down there and wallow in that pigmire. He said, no, I can't wallow in that pigmire. I cannot do that. I can't. You sure there's no other way for me to be saved? He said, no, sir, you need to get down there in that pigmire. Come back about a week later. I said, I just can't take it no more. He said, I can't take it no more. I got to get what you got. He started walking to that pigmire. He said, stop right there, sir. He said, stop right there. He said, why stop? He said, all you had to be doing was willing. All you had to be doing, sir, was just be willing to recognize, acknowledge what you are before the Lord Jesus Christ. And be willing to realize you're nothing but a pig in a pigsty. And the Lord Jesus Christ can make you a sheep. He can make you a new creature in him. Not some fake pearl. A natural pearl. Fake pearls are manufactured by men with the intent to deceive the natural eye. Are you living a life of deception? The second type of pearl is called a cultured or man-made pearls. Cultured pearls, now they're valuable. Cultured pearls are real valuable. Cultured pearls, which are considered real pearls, are a precious gemstone made by oysters, mussels, and various other bivalve mollusk species. So a cultured pearl is considered a real pearl, and it is made by a mussel or an oyster or a mollusk, but they're made a little different than a natural pearl. Most real pearls today are cultured or farmed by inserting material into a mollusk, after which the mollusk lays down concentric layers of nacre until a pearl is formed. The iridescent nacre is the hallmark of a real pearl. So a real pearl will have nacre around it, and that is the hallmark that you know that you have a real pearl. Cultured pearls are created by man placing an object, often the round-shaped object made of mother-of-pearl from another mollusk, are placed inside the living mollusk. So what they do is they take a mollusk or a clam, and inside there's nacre that it forms on the inside of that shell. And what they do is they'll take some of that out and they'll form it into a little marble type looking ball. And then they'll take that ball and they'll pry open another living mollusk. This one had to die. They'll pry open this living mollusk and they'll take that thing in there and they'll pry it down in there. And then they'll take some tissue from that other mollusk that they just killed and opened up, and they'll take that and they'll put it in on top of that little ball that they formed, and then that pearl or that mollusk will start producing a cultured pearl. I'm afraid that many professing Christians today are the product of man and not the work of the Holy Ghost. They have the appearance of a natural pearl, but ultimately the pearl is a complete work of man. You see, cultured pearls are not natural. They don't occur in nature. It's completely man-made. Even though a real mollusk or clam is used, it's completely the work of a man. The Bible says in Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. And we looked at that. With cultured pearls, the large man-made center often has a small amount of growth around it. So what they do to be able to tell the difference between a cultured pearl and a natural pearl is they x-ray them. Someone that's studying pearls or trying to sell them, and they want to know whether they have a real natural pearl, which is rare, or whether if they just have a cultured pearl, they'll x-ray them. And you should see the x-rays on it. You can see immediately that a cultured pearl is not a natural pearl. It's got a big ball in the middle of it that somebody put in there. And then most cultured pearls have just a very thin layer of nacre around them. A natural pearl will have layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of nacre upon it. And you can't even see what's on the inside that it started to get irritated to cover up. It's gone. And you can only tell that by an x-ray. Take your Bible, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter says here, he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and to bring upon them swift destruction. And many," the Bible says, "many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." I think one of the reasons why we have a lot of troubles today is because there's a lot of false pearls out there. There's a lot of cultured pearls. They're the product of their environment. They're a product of man rather than the working of the Holy Spirit of God. They have a thin layer around them of nacre. They have a thin layer around it, but again, it's not completely the real thing. It's a product of man. These pearls, these cultured pearls, are grown in farms and go through a process where man keeps them clean, man keeps them protected and bound in order to make a profit off of them. You tell me that there ain't some preachers out there to try to make a profit off of those in their pews? You're telling me there's not preachers out there today that they have their ways of creating Christians within their flock and then keep them bound? And it's the preacher trying to keep them clean. It's the preacher trying to keep them in line. It's the preacher trying to keep them protected. Why? Because it's all the work of the preacher and not the work of the Holy Ghost. Are you a work of the Holy Ghost, or are you a work of some preacher or teacher or Sunday school teacher? Brethren, I'm serious as I can be with this. This is one thing that you want to see, Brother Chris, because I've seen what it's done to Christianity. I've seen what it's done to our churches. We got a lot of professing. We got a lot of people profess Christianity, but in works they deny them. They're cultured. I believe they're man-made. And think about it today. Some of these men that go around soul winning, they just try to think the people. People don't even know what they're doing. Just repeat this prayer after me. They're done. You're saved. I'm saved. Yeah, you're saved because you just repeated this prayer. So good, you go. And they're like, huh? What? That's foreign to me because of what God did in my life. I don't understand that. I knew it was done to me when I was little. But it wasn't a work of God. It was a work of man. And I think some of those men and some of those women are sincere. They have a good heart about them. Who wants to see anybody go to hell? But they're pushing somebody into the kingdom rather than the Holy Ghost taking them into the kingdom. What woman was it? Was it Perez? And what was? And one of the boys was getting ready to be born, and his leg came out, and she said, "He's the firstborn." Tied a ribbon around it. Oh, he drew withdrew. She professed him as being born, the firstborn. She brought him in and said he was the firstborn. He withdrew, and the other one came out. And a lot of Christians today are doing that with souls. They're trying to pull them into the kingdom. They're trying to bring them into the kingdom rather than God doing the work. And that's what we're missing today. We're missing churches that have brothers and sisters that don't want to see God through prayer and through Bible and through drawing close to him. Rather, we want to take the shortcut and we just want to try to produce souls into the kingdom of God rather than get along with God and let God's power do so. We're missing the power of God today. Because that takes work, because that takes dedication, because that takes desire. And it's just not instant. I'm so thankful that God gave me a second chance. I'm so thankful that I got malaria when I was over there in Africa. I'm so thankful that I got so sick. I'm so thankful that I went in a hospital. Why? Because it was God ringing my bell one more time. And saying, "Chris, you don't have what you think you have. I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful that all I have, I'm so thankful that I just don't have a prayer that I prayed, but I have a living God inside me that bears witness, his spirit with my spirit, that I'm a child of God. Cultured pearls. What do they have to do with cultured pearls? They have to pry open the mouth of that mollusk and they have to jam something down in there in order to get a pearl. God don't work that way. He's a gentle God. He's not going to force himself upon anybody. The wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God will bring conviction. God will ring your bell, but it'll be in the right way. You don't have to pry it open and no. You know why? Because God wants you to love him because he first loved you. He don't want you to just come into church because it's just your duty to come to church. He doesn't want you serving him because it's just what you're supposed to do. He wants you to do it because you want to, because you love him, the one who first loved you. That's what it's about, brethren. There's plenty of people I want to see get saved. But God help me, I'm never going to repeat a prayer with them. I'll put forth the truth. I'll tell them the gospel. I'll say, do you have any questions? And then I'm going to leave it with them in the Holy Ghost of God. We need to read some stories about how Hudson Taylor got saved. Read about how Hudson Taylor got saved. Read about how God dealt with Adoniram Judson. And their parents having wisdom and guidance and how their children would come along. Let God do the work. There was plenty of times my sons would come up to me and say, Daddy, I want to be saved. I want to know God. And we would go over and I answered any questions. I say, when you go pray, then you go pray. You know how much pressure is in your mind saying they're at such a point. Why did you say just go pray? You could have just had them kneel there and repeat something. But God wasn't in it. It would have been me and not God. And the pressure that comes in on parents saying, well, your kid's not saved yet. Your kid's not saved. No, my kids aren't saved yet. And then the frustration of mine, Lord, what more can I do to get my kids saved? And God said, nothing more. It's now with them and me. And praise the precious God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. God got a hold of all three of them right before I got up. Amen. And all three of them got saved by God doing something and not daddy or mama. And that is what's missing today in our churches. We don't want to walk with God. We don't want to pay the sacrifice. We don't want to do what he says. We don't want to implement what's being preached. We just want it handed to us. Brian and Erica, that's not how a marriage works. Marriage takes commitment. A marriage takes work. There's going to be times where you're going to fight. And that means going to try to get in there, but it comes back to commitment. And you wanting to be with the other one. That's the same thing with our precious Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather have a church full of 10 people who love God than 500 in a church who could care less about him. You could do more with that, little as much when God is in it. What is a principle through Scripture? God dealing with a large group of people to do something or just a few people who stand in the gap? See, we think we need huge edifices and schools and people for God to do something. No, God's just looking for one man, one woman to walk with him. And we'll love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And not because they have to. That's what's missing in Christianity today. And that is a cultured pearl. They're man-made. It's pried open. It's forced in there. And it produces a cultured pearl. Natural pearls. A natural or wild pearl are typically found by shellfish, by harvesters, purely by accident. You might have to open 10,000 oysters, it was said in one thing, to find a single decent quality natural pearl. Someone that harvests mollusk or clams, they might have to go through and open 10,000. But one out of 10,000, chances are they'll find a decent quality natural pearl. How many churches today have one decent quality natural Christian in them? A Christian that will love God, serve him, be faithful. Naker Listen to this about nacre. Nacre is not just a smooth substance. Nacre is composed of millions of microscopic crystals, each aligned perfectly so that light passing along the axis of one is reflected and refracted by the other to produce a tapestry of light and color. Not only is nacre smooth, but it's made up of these tiny little tiles neatly stacked perfectly around the sphere of that pearl. And those things are set up so much so that God's created them to where when light passes through those crystals, it reflects beauty, it reflects color, it reflects, and it says a tapestry of light. Beautiful. You see a natural pearl in sunlight and it's absolutely gorgeous because it's reflecting the light coming from the sun. A natural pearl has the depth and layers to produce light and color on their own, especially when they reflect sunlight. Natural pearls, as I said, are absolutely beautiful when they're in the sun. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 16 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father in heaven." If you are truly born again of God this morning, the Holy Ghost has made a difference in your life. Get into the sunlight and let God use your life to reflect his life through your life. Get in the sunlight. You say, "Preacher, how do I get in the sunlight?" Prayer, Bible reading, come to church. Get in the sunlight. And let Jesus Christ, let those rays that come from him reflect off of your pearl. And you know what it'll do? The world will look at it and it's going to cause them to wonder. It's going to cause them to stop and stare for a few moments. Listen, I don't know. I'm really interested now to even try to do more study on pearls and just fascinated on just looking at some of them are just absolutely beautiful. And you stop and you look, and it causes you a moment just to gaze at it. That's what this world needs to see. This world needs to see some natural pearls reflecting the sunlight of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this about a natural pearl. The longer the oyster or the mollusk stays underwater, the bigger the pearl. Be patient and allow the Lord to grow you through his word, prayer, and daily walk with him. The Bible says in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in what? It's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Another thing about natural pearls, get this, this is something else. Culture pearls don't get this for the most part. Natural pearls, one thing about natural pearls is that they're not always round. Natural pearls, every one of them are their own distinct pearl because they've all grown differently. Whereas culture pearls, remember that man sticks that ball in there? They're all round. For the most part, they all come out perfectly round. It's like they're cookie cutter. How about a lot of Christians say, just cookie cutter? Just come in, it's just cookie cutter, just like a machine, just pushing them out. Natural pearls got little nicks in them. They're odd shaped. And isn't that one of each of us? We all got our own little quirks. We all have our strengths. We all have our weaknesses. But when God strings us all together, what a beautiful necklace it'll make. And if you have a pearl, if you got a pearl, it just can't be put on a necklace because of just its shape. It says a lot of jewelers will look for that one because they can set it off by itself and they can make a special piece of jewelry around that one little pearl that is awkward, it's messed up, it's out of shape. Think about what God can do in your life. You say, "Preacher, I'm just messed up. I'm just a little off here. I'm a little off there." But God can make you into a beautiful piece for him. Let him work in your life. Amen. Let him grow you. Let him make you into what he wants you to be for the glory and honor to him. Oysters that get flipped back and forth with the tide, the more flips over time, the more likely the pearl will be round like a marble, thus creating more value. So not only are the pearls that are a little off a little bit, but the oyster gets flipped back and forth in the ocean will create a more perfect and valued pearl. I'll say this, I say, always stay faithful to the Lord, even though the road may be rough and steep, and it may be seem as times where your whole world is turned upside down. It's during those times where God has your world turned upside down that you're just like that mollusk or that clam in the ocean. It feels like you're just being flipped all over the place. But God's doing something in your life if you allow him and don't quit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Bible says in Psalm 71:20, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Natural pearls, I'm almost done. Just bear with me a few more minutes. I'm almost done. Natural pearls have a weight to them and are not easily worn by the touch. They're able to keep their cool. Think about that one for a second. You pick up a natural pearl compared to a fake pearl or even some because culture pearls can't get too big because they're trying to make money. Natural pearls may be in the ocean for years and years and years. Culture pearls will try to produce as quick as possible because they try to make a buck off of it. Natural pearls that stay in the ocean for a long time are tossed to and fro and just going through all kinds of stuff. And the mollusk has a chance of being hurt or it takes time. But the Bible says, or they tell you about natural pearls, is that when they come forth and you finally get one and you pick it up and a fake pearl, it's like the natural pearl's got some weight to it. It's got some substance to it. Does your Christian life have weight to it, or are you easy provoked by the world and things that get you hot? You see, a natural pearl, you can't heat it up very quick. Whereas a fake pearl, you pick it up, it'll warm up real quick. A natural pearl won't warm up. Natural pearls, the last thing about a natural pearl, you say, well, how can you tell the difference between a natural pearl and a fake pearl? Very easy. You just rub it against your teeth. And I did it. My mom had given my daughter some pearls. I said, man, I don't know. My mom give you real pearls. She's like, no, Dad. Nana said these are real pearls. I said, So she brought them downstairs. She got a necklace. I took it, rubbed it on my teeth. It says a natural pearl, even though it is perfectly smooth, well, it's not natural. She's got culture pearls. But if it has any nacre on it, it'll be perfectly smooth, but it also has a grit to it. And when you rub it up against a tooth, you'll feel the grittiness of that pearl. I'm going to close with this thought. Grit means this. It means firmness of mind, invincible spirit, unyielding courage, fortitude. Is there a grit to your Christian walk, or are you easily overcome with sin and strife? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. A true Christian, a true natural pearl, even though it's smooth, it'll have a little bit of grit to it. Do you have a little grit to your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Timothy says, thou therefore, my son, Paul says to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And lastly, in Hebrews 11:27, it says, by faith, talking about Moses, By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We have a living God. We have a Savior who's alive. I ask you this question this morning. Are you a fake pearl? Are you a cultured pearl? Or are you a natural pearl? Fake, cultured, natural. They're all considered pearls, but there's definitely some differences between them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the precious Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you for the new birth. Lord, I thank you for your precious word that we can open it up and we can study it. Lord, I thank you for creation. I thank you, Lord, if we just take some time and examine and study those things around us, they will continually point back to your glory and your honor and your majesty. Help us to take hold of these things. Lord, I pray, dear God, if there's somebody here this morning that's not been ever truly born again of God, all they have is a profession, but not a possession. Lord, I pray you deal with them. Lord, I pray you bring conviction upon them. And Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes to see the truth of what you did on the cross of Calvary, how much you love them, how much you care for them. And Lord, that your hand is outstretched. And Lord, all they got to do is grab a hold. And we ask this now in Jesus' name, amen. Jason, could you come up and play for a few seconds? I just want you to spend some time in prayer as Jason plays for a few moments here, and then we'll close. Just spend some time in prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Downstairs and eat, have a time of fellowship and enjoy this day. But if the Lord's dealing with you about anything, I pray that you would just do business with him. I pray that you would just seek his face, know that he loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to make you into a special jewel for him and for his kingdom. So don't let this slip away. Even though we're going to go down here in a few moments and enjoy some good food and fellowship together, may we just meditate upon this thing of natural pearls. And maybe you take some time yourself and go in and look some more into it. There's a lot there with it about how God created a natural pearl. Brother Jason, can you close in prayer, brother?
Our Father, what more could we say? Lord, we thank you for loving us.
Amen.
In spite of ourselves. There is nothing in us that's worthy of love. Certainly nothing that's worthy of your love.
Yes.
And you sent your Son to the cross for us. And I know that broke your heart. And it breaks my heart to think of the way my life has been lived in the past. And And I know there's others sitting here. Every one of us can say the same thing. Lord, I'm not worthy. We're not worthy. But you saw the beauty in the pearl that was being made. You saw value, even when others didn't see it. And we thank you for it. And Lord, we just pray that you help us as we go our way. That we let the light shine through the pearl. So that others may see. We pray that you bless this time together, bless the fellowship together, bless the food to our use as we partake. And we pray that you bless the next service to follow. May it be a good time of celebration and new beginning for this church. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Love you all.